The following is a Sunday Feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 15. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 15th, 2014, in Pretoria, South Africa.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yujam Nivansa Dhatmanam Yogi Niyata Manasa Shantim Nirvana Paramam Matsang Stam Nadi Gatshati. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thus practicing constant control of the body, mind, and activities, the mystic transcendentalist, his mind regulated, attains to the kingdom of God or the abode of Krishna by cessation of material existence. Purport. The ultimate goal in practicing yoga is now clearly explained. Yoga practice is not meant for attaining any kind of material facility. It is to enable the cessation of all material existence. One who seeks an improvement in health or aspires after material perfection is no yogi, according to Bhagavad Gita. Nor does cessation of material existence entail one entering into the void, which is only a myth. There is no void anywhere within the creation of the Lord. Rather, the cessation of material existence enables one to enter into the spiritual sky, the abode of the Lord. The abode of the Lord is also clearly described in the Bhagavad Gita as that place where there is no need of sun, moon, or electricity. All the planets in the spiritual kingdom are self-illuminated like the sun in the material sky. The kingdom of God is everywhere, but the spiritual sky and the planets thereof are called Paramdhamma, or the superior abodes. A consummate yogi, who is perfect in understanding Lord Krishna, as is clearly stated herein by the Lord Himself, Matschitta Paramatsthanam, can attain real peace and can ultimately reach His supreme abode, Krishna Loka, known as Goloka Vrindavan. In the Brahma Samhita 5:37, it is clearly stated, Goloka eva niva satya kilatma bhuta. The Lord, although residing always in His abode called Goloka, is the all-pervading Brahman, and the localized Paramatma as well by dint of His superior spiritual energies. No one can reach the spiritual sky of Vaikuntha or enter into the Lord's eternal abode, Goloka Vrindavan, without the proper understanding of Krishna and His plenary expansion, Vishnu. Therefore, a person working in Krishna consciousness is the perfect yogi because his mind is always absorbed in Krishna's activities, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo. In the Vedas also, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3:8, we learn, Tam eva viridvati mridyumeti. One can overcome the path of birth and death only by understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, perfection of the yoga system is the attainment of freedom from material existence and not some magical jugglery or gymnastic feats to befool innocent people. Vandeha. Shri Guru. Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadudam Badijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yadeshatarine. We often hear about nirvana. And here Krishna talks about nirvana. He says, nirvana paramam, which means the supreme nirvana. You see. The Buddhists, they're interested in a so-called nirvana of entering into the void, which is only an imagination. It's not real. You can't enter into the void because there is no such thing as void. You see. But the actual conception of nirvana is given here. This is the actual teaching about nirvana. Nirvana padanam, paramam, you see, the supreme nirvana. Matstam stammadi gachyati. One who achieves the supreme nirvana, he enters into my eternal abode. So vana refers to the cycle of birth and death, and nir means no more cycle of birth and death, you see, getting out of vana. The repetition of birth and death. So if you want actual nirvana, if you want actual liberation from the clutches of Maya, which is beating you again and again, birth is smashing you with birth, smashing you with sickness, smashing you with old age, and smashing you with death again and again. Do you like being smashed? Somebody beating on you with a club? You see? That's what the cycle of birth and death is. They're being beaten by birth. Death, all smashed again and again. Birth is a smashing. Sickness is being smashed. Old age is being smashed. And death is being smashed. For another routine of being smashed again. Being beaten and whipped by the three modes of material nature. Durga Devi has a spear, a trident. The trident means three prongs. And she jabs the living entities with this spear, you see. One spear is called adiatmic, the miseries of the mind and the body. The other is called adibhautic, the miseries caused by other living entities. And the third is called adidaivic, the miseries caused by natural disasters. So we're being jabbed, you see. Our own body is causing us problems, our own mind, and somebody harasses us, you see. They persecute us. That's adibhautic. And then freaks of nature, hurricanes, tornadoes, droughts, flooding, you see, that's adidaivic. So we're being constantly tortured by at least one of these miseries at every minute, Srila Prabhupada says. There's not even 1 minute, not even 1 nanosecond in this material world, but you're not being jabbed by at least one of these miseries. So do you enjoy being jabbed by a trident of miseries? Do you relish it? Do you think it's fun? It's horrible. But we imagine that it's okay because we can't conceive of being in a place where there's no happiness. Because our nature is we are eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. That's our actual identities. You understand you're not your body, you're an eternal spiritual being, and your actual nature is your eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Therefore, since you are all blissful, since you are unlimitedly blissful by your very nature, if you are put into an atmosphere where there's nothing but misery, you have to imagine that it's bliss. Because it's your nature to be blissful. It's like there was one author, he wrote a book called I've Been Down So Long, It Looks Like Up to Me. So that's what it's like, you see. We've been suffering so long, we imagine the suffering is enjoyment. You're suffering like hell, and someone says, how are you doing? Fine. Right? I'm suffering like hell, man. But you, I say, oh, fine. You got to keep up the social upkeep, right? So your friends don't reject you. You have to say, fine, fine, even though you feel like hell. Isn't it? That's material life. But the good news is, it's only a dream. This hellish nightmare we're in called the material world is only a dream. You just got to wake up from the dream. You're not the body. The body, I'm not saying the body is false, but you are the body. That is a dream. I'm not this white body. You're not that black body or that female body. You're not that body. These are just coverings according to the karmic laws. Sometimes we have a white body, sometimes we have a black body, sometimes we have a male body. It's all just karma. Every white person was a black and every black person was a white. We've been switching bodies since time immemorial. Then we were Chinese, we were, you know, we've been everything. We've been Martian, we've been, you know, we've been sun planet people. Sun planet, they have bodies made of fire. You see, we've had all these different bodies. There's 8,400,000 different types of bodies, and we've been through every one of them trying to enjoy as a germ, as a worm, as a snake, as a grasshopper, as a wallaby they have in Australia, and the kangaroos, you know. And in Texas, we have armadillos. You heard of the armadillo? Yeah, the armadillo is quite a character. We have all these different kinds of bodies we're trying to enjoy. As a little kid, we're trying to enjoy. As a senior citizen, we're trying to enjoy. As a beggar in the street, we're trying to enjoy. As a millionaire, as a big politician, as a soldier, as a rock musician, as a star athlete, as a street sweeper, as a janitor. We've been trying to enjoy in so many different ways. As a mother, as a father, as we've tried every single way to enjoy, but no matter what we do, we always come up with a short end of the stick, you see. There's something missing here. It's just something not right, you see. That's because we're identifying with the material body. As long as you identify with the material body, I guarantee you, you can never be happy, even if you got, by dint of great pious activities and austerities, even if you got the body of Lord Brahma, the chief demigod over the whole universe, the biggest prime minister in the whole universe. Even if you got Brahmaji's body, what does Krishna say? Bhagavad Gita chapter 8, text number 16. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjuna mamupechita konteya punar janma navidyate. From the highest planet in this material world all the way down to the most hellish, nightmarish planet in this material world, everywhere you go is simply a place of misery. Why? Because repeated birth and death take place there. But he says, one who attains to buy a boat, O son of Kunti, punar janma na vidyate. You know the Sanskrit? Punar means again. Janma is birth, na is not, vidya he takes. Punar janma na vidyate, he doesn't take birth again. Well, is that where you want to be? Do you want to be in that position where you don't take birth again? Or do you want to try another goal in this material world? Maybe if I just was a rock star, I'd be happy. You see? Do you want to make another go at it, or do you want to finish it up now? It's your choice. You can make another go if you want. You can try to be a, you know, whatever you want to be in this material world. You can try to be anything you want. It's a free world. You can do whatever you want. But I guarantee you, no matter what position you achieve in this place, you will not be satisfied. Take my word. Because it's not you. You're not the body. You're a spiritual being. Satchidananda Vigraha. You have an eternal identity as an associate of the Supreme Lord, as the source of all existence. Do you know that? You actually have an identity. It's called Svarupa. You have an eternal identity in the pastimes of Krishna. So you're cheating yourself if you keep thinking, I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm white, I'm black, I'm South African, I'm Indian, I'm American. You're just cheating yourself. So stop being an idiot. We have to stop being fools and rascals and stop cheating ourselves. We have to come out of this madness. We have to come to the liberated platform. You understand? You see? Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada very, very nicely explained this in the Bhaktivasamrita Sindhu 1.2.187. He says, Iha yashaharir dashe karmana manasa gila nikala svapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchate. One who engages himself karmana by his body, you see, manasa by his minds, gira by his words, karmana, manasa, get up, by body, mind, and words, he is, in Krishna's service, he is a liberated soul, even in all conditions of this material existence. Did you know that? You don't have to die to become a liberated soul. You can become a liberated soul right here, right now, today in Pretoria, South Africa. Do you know that? You can walk out of this room as a liberated soul. All you have to do is say, okay, from now on, I have no business except to engage my body, my mind, and my words 24/7 in all places and situations in the service of Krishna. You make that determination and do it, and I can. And then you're a liberated soul. You are a liberated soul. Jivan Mukta. Let's see. You're already as good as back to home, back to Godhead, even while you're walking around in Pretoria, South Africa. So it's simply, this is a mystical process. It's mystical. It's not so like, you know, just going to work on Monday morning, some mundane thing you do and, you know, the little karma comes and goes. No, this devotional service is mystical. This takes you out of the material existence. This unlocks the doors of the prison of the three modes of material nature. This is a key that unlocks the modes. Right now we're tied up with the modes of nature. But this mystical process of Krishna consciousness, it unlocks the key and you enter into a whole other dimension. Even while you're here in Pretoria, you will see everything differently. Your whole vision of reality will be transformed. Everything, you'll hear things differently, you'll see things differently, you'll taste things differently. Everything will be transformed. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti pareshanu bhavava raktir nanyatta chai shatraka eka kalaha prapadyamanashi yatashnadashu shtushtipushti chudapoyo nagasam. This is described that one who engages in devotional service, you see, he perceives Krishna everywhere. And he becomes completely disinterested in material sense gratification. It's described. You can see Krishna everywhere. You can experience Krishna everywhere. Within his name, within the breezes, within the taste of water, within the temple, within your heart, and especially that sound vibration, you see. Transcendental sound vibration. That is the Yuga Dharma. Haranama, Haranama, Haranama Iva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatir Anjata. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. Because there's no other alternative. There's no other alternative. There is no other alternative for God realization in this age. This chanting is so powerful that if you chant with love, you will directly meet Krishna. You understand? If you chant with love, you will meet Krishna in the form of his name. You will meet him. You will associate with Krishna himself. There's so much nectar in this Krishna. Do you know how much nectar there is in Krishna? The sound vibration in Krishna. These two syllables. Do you know how much nectar there can be found in these two syllables? Krishna. Does anybody know? Does anybody know? Actually, we don't know. That's a fact. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know. So what is our position? Tunde tandamani viteng vitinitaitum valavi labdiye karna krudikadamani gatiya kadabri debrasviham. Chaita prangana sanganis vijayate servendrianam kritim. No jani janita kriyadbir amritai krishneti varnadvai. Krishneti varnadvai means these two syllables, krishna. So Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced, because when I utter Krishna, Krishna dances on my tongue, and when he's dancing in my tongue, there's so much nectar oozing out from these syllables that my one little mouth cannot contain it. Therefore, oh my Lord, please give me millions of mouths. And then Rupa Goswami says, and then when Krishna enters the halls of my ears, when he comes bursting through the portals of my ears, there's so much nectar I need billions and trillions of ears to capture at least some of that nectar. And then when Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned, paralyzed in transcendental bliss. You see. So, is that how we experience our realms? No. What does that mean? We're neophytes. We're neophytes. Well, that's okay. You got to start somewhere, right? They say the thousand mile journey begins with the first step. Okay, start off as a neophyte. I don't like the chanting that much. It's okay sometimes. A lot of times it's not okay, but I do it because I took a vow. And all right, just do it. Just keep doing that chanting, doing it. And what does Rupa Goswami say for us to encourage us poor neophytes who don't get much nectar out of the holy name? Here's what he says. This is Upadeshamrita Mantra 7. Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Satap Yavidya Pato Patasya Rasya Nasya Narochikanu Kintvandanuninang Kalushai Majushta Swadi Kramad Bhadda Biku Swami Kramad Bhavati Tadgalamula Hantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So would you like your disease to be destroyed at the root, Prabhu? Manaji, would you like your disease to be destroyed at the root? Then all you got to do is carefully chant these sweet names every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the ultimate medicine. There are many diseases in this material world. In Sanskrit, they are called roga. But the worst of all diseases is called bhavarog, which is the disease known as the repetition of birth and death. This Hare Krishna mantra, it is the ultimate medicine. Is the only medicine that cures the most severe cancers of all, Vavarog, the repetition of birth and death. I have terminal cancer, Prabhu. It's called birth and death. It's terminal cancer. I'm suffering from terminal cancer. They're in the cycle of birth and death. There's only one medicine that can destroy this disease, and that's Haranama, Haranama, Haranama Yivakevalam. So take it very seriously. Don't take it whimsically. Don't take it frivolously. Don't take it casually. Take it as your most serious business, as a matter of life and death. If you had fallen off a cliff and you had grabbed a hold of a branch on the way over, how tightly would you hold to that branch? If you let go, you're a dead man. If you hang on and call for help, there's hikers in the up there, somebody will throw you a rope and get you out of there, you see. So you got to take this chanting as a matter of life and death. I'm serious now. I'm not talking, I'm joking around here. This is a matter of life and death. If you take the chanting of the holy name seriously, you're out of this miserable condition very soon. You'll be back with Krishna in his eternal pastimes. If you don't take the chanting seriously, well, you take breath again. That's the reality. If you don't take the chanting seriously, you will take birth again in this material world according to your karma. So it's up to you. Do you want out of this nasty place? Or do you want to stay here? Prabhupada has thrown us the life rope, the life buoy, the Hare Krishna mantra. Now take this Hare Krishna mantra. There's some papers passed around. You can write your questions down on the papers. Is any questions written down yet? If there's any questions, pass them forward. Let's start try to answer some questions now. Okay. I don't know if I am right or if I am right or not true, but I heard Maharaj mentioning that this life we love is a dream, rather is not real. So my question is, why does this world and everything in it look so real? I explained, it's real, but it's not what it appears to be. I never said this world is false. Your body is real, but it's not you. If you think it's real, that's the dream. Understand? So, just like, here's an example. Let's say you live in Anchorage, Alaska, and it's really cold up there. In the winter, you don't see the sun for like 3 or 4 months. I mean, it's really a long, cold winter. So there's a movie theater downtown. You go to watch The Blue Lagoon about Fiji Island, you know. You're sitting there, you know. Here I am in the Fiji Island, the Blue Lagoon, and beautiful Pacific breezes, and wow, it's all, and then the movie comes to an end, and you go, oh my God, I'm here in Anchorage, Alaska, there's a blizzard, and I have to go home in this heavy snowstorm. You know, see what I'm saying? Were you actually in the Blue Lagoon? No. But was the screen real? Yeah, the screen was real. Was there actual images being cast on the screen from the projector? Yes. There was real images cast on the screen by a real projector, by a real projectionist. It was a real movie, but were you in the Blue Lagoon? No, you're not. You see. So, Prabhupada sometimes describes this world as a dream and sometimes not. So, you have to understand what he means, you see. It's a dream in the sense that it's not us, it's not our actual identity. I'm dreaming on this body and I'm dreaming this is my actual home. That's a dream. It's like being in a prison, wearing a uniform and thinking it's a fine business suit. This is home sweet home in my prison cell, my prison uniform, and I'm dreaming I'm in a mansion with a nice business suit, with a, you know, my Mercedes backpacked out in the driveway, and you know. So it's real, but it's a dream because I'm thinking it's actual my actual eternal position. Does the Bhagavad Gita talk about unity and peace of all religions? Yes. Krishna says, give up all these sectarian conceptions of religion and come to the one religion of... Thank you very much. Krishna says, sarva-dharman purityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Give up all these sectarian concepts of religion that create fighting and turmoil in the world and come to the universal religion of love of God. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. There's only one religion, that's the love of God. You can call him Allah or Krishna or Jehovah, that's all right. But there's one supreme being who's the source of everything, and to love him is the one true religion. How can I please Srila Prabhupada? Develop your love for Krishna. How can I please Krishna? Develop your love for Prabhupada. Thank you. Now you can sit down. Okay. How can I increase my intensity in sadhana? Rise early in the morning before sunrise and do your sadhana then. Hare Krishna, Ram. Thank you, Ram. Hare Krishna. Okay. For someone who was constantly suffering bodily ailments, you're the only one. Welcome to the club. like chronic health problems, welcome to the club. And it affects my day-to-day life. Welcome to the club. How do we maintain enthusiasm, morale, and doing sadhana properly? Well, I tell you what, use your bodily misery as a springboard to make you more intense in your Krishna consciousness. Just like I have these eye allergies. Sometimes my eye, it's like fire. I go to different places, there are different pollens in the air, and it's an unbelievable hell. My eye is itched like fire. Sometimes I feel like I have ants all over eating my eyes out. The itch is so bad, I feel like I have 500 ants eating each eye out. It's like hell, but I keep traveling and preaching because this is my duty as a spiritual master with disciples all over the world. You see, I have to travel and preach. So I take these sufferings as an impetus to go even deeper into the chanting. You see? So that's what you have to do. Whatever bodily ailment you have, it's special mercy. Now you have to go even deeper into Krishna consciousness to get free from this misery. I know it's a token reaction. It could be worse, but yet my enthusiasm dwindles, my health suffers. Well, I have to tell you this. Your health, in the long run, your health is going to suffer more and more until you finally die. Sorry to give you the bad news. There's going to be ups and downs, okay? But the overall tendency on the graph is down to death. That's where you're headed. If you base your happiness on how your body feels, you're on the wrong track. You're on the wrong track. You cannot base your happiness on what your body is feeling like, because if you do so, you're going to be the most miserable senior citizen in ISKCON. You can't base your happiness based on how your body feels. You have to base your happiness on how you're developing love for Krishna. Because that means you're getting out of this nasty place. How can I increase my appreciation for devotees? Associate with them in Krishna conscious activities. Kirtan, talking about Krishna. Associate with devotees. Do devotional service to devotees. Don't sit around and watch the latest soccer game or something like that. No, you engage with devotees in Krishna consciousness. Kirtan, book distribution, prasadam, cooking, honoring prasadam, reading Krishna book, talking about Krishna, you see, going on pilgrimages together, you see, do devotional activities with devotees, and naturally your appreciation will increase. If asked to give class at the temple, what should be my mood? Krishna, please help me. Because I don't have much, I have very little realizations, but I've been asked to speak, so you please give me the words. What's the proof? Prabhupada prayed the same way when he came to America. He said, I have been designated Bhakti Vedanta. I have no Bhakti and I have no Vedanta. But I'm Krishna, I'm asking you to please empower my words, you see. So you just follow Prabhupada's mood. The feeling you're totally incompetent, and beg for the mercy that you can speak something to inspire the devotees and to purify your own heart. This is one of the criterion. It's mentioned that one does Vaishnava writing to purify himself. So actually the same thing for speaking. When you're asked to give a class, you think, now let me give a class that will purify myself. Because I guarantee you, you're not the only one contaminated in this temple. If you can purify yourself, speak in such a way that you become purified, you're going to purify everybody in the whole room. That's a thing. I understand that to keep enthusiasm, one needs fellowship with devotees. How does one prevent the self from being easily offended? Be tolerant more than a tree. Offer all respect to others, even if they are very, very disrespectful to you. That's Lord Chaitanya's instruction. If you do that, Always be respectful, even if you're disrespected. And I guarantee you, in the long run, you'll become the most respected devotee in the whole temple if you do that. If you don't demand respect, when you always give respect, in the due course of time, you'll become the most respected devotee in the whole temple, I guarantee you. Okay. But you'll have to be patient. It'll take time. It won't happen overnight. It may take a few years. In the meantime, you've got to be very, very tolerant. If the only way to be one with Krishna is to love Krishna unconditionally, how does one that is lacking in faith, though willing to grow, begin the path to loving Krishna? You take short of a bona fide spiritual master. That's what Rupa Goswami says. Adalgarashvayam sadharma prishastadu marganagamanam. He says, the first step on the path of bhakti, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and inquire from him how to advance in Krishna consciousness. And then he will engage you in following in the footsteps of the great Vaishnava acharyas. That's how you begin. What is the end realization of Arjuna? Surrender to Krishna. Fight the battle in the order of Krishna. If this life is kind of not hard to see, it is kind of not that hard to see why Buddha is considered a void. Please explain the void. The void is an imaginary concept that nothing exists at all. Okay? Actually, nothing even exists. There is nothing. I don't exist. You don't exist. This world doesn't exist. Even the philosophy of void doesn't really exist. There's just nothingness. There's nothing here. I was formerly a voidist. I know what I'm talking about. I used to be a voidist. I was a singer-songwriter, and I had a song. It was that the hippies loved it. It was called, "Hey, I'm So Unreal, I Don't Really Exist at All." I got up and sang it. The hippies went wild, I remember. They loved this. They were into voidism. "Hey, I'm so unreal. I really don't exist at all." And then someone said, "Well, who's singing then? If you don't exist, who's singing the song?" You know what I mean? But it's a ridiculous philosophy that I don't really exist, you know. But it's not practical. It's not practical. Thank you very much for your most wonderful association. Well, thank you for your wonderful association. If there's any good to my association, it's a reflection of your association. Please kindly advise what is the cure for anger. Don't be self-centered. Anytime, of course, anger at blasphemy, that's bona fide, but anger, most of our anger is because you didn't recognize that I'm the center of the universe, Prabhu. Don't you know I'm the center of the universe? Didn't you know? And you don't acknowledge it? And we have I got an axe to grind with you because you don't recognize that I'm the center of the universe. You see? So the way to get over anger is you have to remember, Prabhu, you are not the center of the universe. Okay? Krishna is the center of the universe. If you always remember Krishna's the center, not me, then your anger will not be a problem. Okay? Also, in the hellish planets, are there any devotees preaching to the suffering people there? Well, if you like, we'll send you out on some kirtan. The hellish planets. Who would like to volunteer to go to the hellish planets? Actually, Bali Maharaj went to the hellish planet, but Krishna went with him. So, a devotee is willing to go to hell for preaching. That's a thing. For a devotee, there's no question of heaven or hell. Anywhere he can go and glorify Krishna, he's in heaven. Doesn't matter, you see. He can go anywhere and be happy. It is easy to theoretically accept one is not the body, but situations, having fear, realizing one is not trust Krishna completely, bring the realization that one is tightly wrapped in bodily consciousness. This is wonderful that you're having these realizations, to realize how much you're in Maya. That's the beginning of spiritual awakening. What are the signs that one is approaching transcending bodily consciousness, and how not to get discouraged? What you've written here is a sign that you're actually coming out of bodily consciousness. That you realize how much you're in bodily consciousness, that's how you get out of it. When you go to a doctor, he tells you exactly what you have, right? You were feeling sick, you couldn't figure out why. You go to the doctor, he diagnoses you have this, 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 this. Now here's the medicine. Now you've begun your cure, you see. The first step is to know what your disease is. Yeah, I'm lusty. I'm angry. I'm greedy. I'm envious. I'm delusioned. I'm crazy. I got lazy. I got all this dirt. I thought I was a good guy, but now I realize I'm really a bum. I'm a dirty bum, you know. I'm a dirty old man, you see. I got this crud in my heart. That's good. Now you know what your disease is. Now you can take the medicine. If one can be liberated while still in the material body, does that mean that Maya's trident is not working on one anymore? One who becomes spiritually awakened will no longer be tortured by the pricks of Durga Devi's trident. Even if his body goes through those things, he will not be disturbed by it. He will simply see that it's something happening out there in the external energy. It's not touching me. How to deal with a false ego? Replace it with the real ego. I'm the servant of Krishna. How to get serious and remain enthused in the practice of bhakti yoga. There are 10 steps given in the Nectar Devotion, chapter number 6, how to discharge devotional service. If you will follow these 10 items seriously, I guarantee you, you will remain enthused in your practice of bhakti yoga. Does anybody know the 10 items? Can they give the first 10 items given by Rupa Goswami? I will give you them, since none of you know. Okay. First thing you have to do, you have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Step number one. Okay. Step number two is you have to get initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. That's step number two. Step number three, you have to obey the instructions of the guru. Not you just take a guru and you go on doing all your nonsense. Now you have to obey your spiritual master. You see? The next step is the spiritual master that engages you in following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. That's the fourth step. And the fifth step is you inquire from the spiritual master how you can advance in Krishna consciousness. That's the fifth step. The sixth step is to always be prepared to give up anything material in the service of the Lord. In other words, be prepared to accept anything you would not like to accept, or to reject anything you would not like to reject in the service of the Lord. That's the sixth step. The seventh step is to reside in a holy place like Vrindavan or Dwarka, or live here in this temple, or make your home like a temple. Make Krishna the center of your home. Make a Vrindavan atmosphere wherever you're living. You have to create a Vrindavan atmosphere. Either live in Vrindavan or create Vrindavan in your home, your place of residence. That's the seventh item. Okay, now the eighth item. Accept only what is necessary in Krishna's service. In other words, only deal with the material world insofar as is necessary for your devotional service to Krishna. That's the eighth item. The ninth item is to observe a codicil. Don't take any grains or beans on a codicil. If you want to get into it more, like a Nirjala Kadasi, that's an option. You don't have to do that, but it is very nice. Those who do a Nirjala Kadasi, they feel great benefit from doing that. But the rule is every Kadasi, no grains and no beans. Strictly avoid grains and beans on a Kadasi. And the 10th item is to worship sacred trees like the banyan or the tulsi. Do you have any banyan here in your yard? We have a tulsi. Okay, so worship the tulsi. In our temple in Miami, we had a banyan tree in the year. So I asked Prabhupada how to worship the banyan tree. And he said, with some incense and flour and water. But we never did it because we Tulsi worship is more important than banyan. But you can banyan, and Rupa Goswami says worship sacred trees like the banyan. And then Prabhupada explains that also includes the Tulsi tree. So if you will do these 10 items, you see, take shelter of Guru, take initiation from Guru, obey the spiritual master, follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas, inquire from the spiritual master, be prepared to accept anything or reject anything in Krishna's service, reside in a holy place, accept only what is necessary in the service of the Lord, observe Ekadasi and worship the Tulsi tree. If you will do these 10 items, then you will advance very, very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So if you don't remember them, just go to the chapter 6 of the Nectar Devotion, and you'll find it right there. I quoted it right out of the book. It's right there in the Nectar Devotion. These are the first 10 items for one who is serious about Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami says the first three are the most important. If you can't remember all of them, just do the first three. Take shelter of Guru, get initiated by Guru, and obey the Guru. If you just do those three things, you got everything covered. Okay, let's see, we got one more here. Okay. When we are making offerings for the deities, the pen was very weak. Ladies normally offer offer last. Is it in Vedic culture that females come last? Offering to the deities? Well, that's the Bajari makes the offering to the deities. The male or female, it doesn't matter. Tell us how to choose a spouse in Hare Krishna style. Well, it's simple. Are they Krishna conscious? We don't need to do astrology. For Karmi, astrology is recommended. For Karmis, an expert astrologer is recommended. For devotees, are they Krishna conscious? I didn't do any astrology with my wife, and it worked out pretty good. Because she's Krishna conscious. She didn't do any astrology on me. If we'd done astrology, we probably never would have gotten married. The most important thing is the person Krishna conscious. Because if they are, you're in good shape. You see, this person's serious about surrendering to Krishna. That's all you really need to know. If they are, you got the best spouse in the whole world. No doubt about it. The best spouse in the whole world. Okay, so we run out of the questions. Yeah?
Sankshavaj, I think the beginning of the question, they were asking about offering flowers to Prabhupada.
Offering to Prabhupada. I don't know of any hard and fast rules. I've seen different things. I remember I was in New Vrindavan, and we were going to all give some realizations about how we came to the movement, I remember. So they said, okay, they had seniority, and they all lined up, you know, the sannyasis, and then down here, and then somehow the women are at the very end of the line. And then Bhakti Tirtha Swami said, okay, we're going to start at the end of the line, and go that and start make that first. He flipped the line around, and the women went first. So, Prabhupada, I know I was at the Vyasa Puja. I was with Prabhupada at his Vyasa Puja in 1972 in Vrindavan, and he instructed on how the Vyasa Puja ceremony should be conducted. And Vishnujan Swami said, write it down. He turned to me and said, write it down. So I did. And Prabhupada said, every devotee should offer a flower to him according to seniority. Now, see, women aren't necessarily less senior. Strictly, seniority means this. When you're initiated, that's one way that seniority. So a woman who was initiated before a man was initiated, she's senior to him, according to what Prabhupada told one time when Pajumna was there. I'll give you an example. Pajumna was sitting in the room with Prabhupada. There was a god brother there also. So Prajumna moved forward in front of this God, moved closer to Prabhupada than this God brother was sitting. And Prabhupada said, you do not move closer than him. He is your dada. He is your older brother. You don't move closer than him. You let him sit closer because he is your senior God brother. So Prabhupada said that by when you're initiated, you judge, seniority is judged by when you're initiated. So if a woman was initiated first, then she's senior. If you want to follow that principle, I mean, there's different ways it could be done, but I'm just saying this is one way it was done on one occasion by Prabhupada. I'm giving you two actual incidents in Prabhupada's pastimes. He said those who are initiated first, they're senior, and he said those who, the order of who offers the flowers should be according to seniority. According to that principle, man and woman has nothing to do with it. It's just based on when you're initiated. And if you're not initiated, well, you're junior. That's all. The initiate should go first. That was what Prabhupada told us in Deva Vrindavan. Now, naturally, the sannyasis will be put forward, because they're considered the topmost rung in the Varnashram system. Nowadays, Prabhupada disciples are always considered senior. Male and female doesn't matter. A Prabhupada disciple is always considered senior. So it's up to the local managers how they want to manage it, but I'm just telling you what Prabhupada said on particular incidences. It's not that women are considered junior because they're in a female body. A woman, if she was initiated before a man, she's considered more senior than him, according to what Prabhupada told us on those occasions. You'd like to add something to this?
Well, I've seen in Los Angeles temple, as you say, so according to seniority, men and a woman, they alternate.
Oh, they have a man's, they go man and then woman, they alternate? Alternate. They have two lines. One from the man line will offer, one from the woman's line will offer. Back and forth. I don't know because it gets loud. I just offer mine and get out of there quick because my ear damage.
And then according to the seniority or the
women? They're the senior women, they line up all the men according to seniority and all the women according to seniority. One man will offer, then one woman will offer, and they go back and forth. And in Los Angeles, that's what they did. Anything else? Is everybody satisfied? Everybody's happy? Is anybody miserable? Raise your hand if you're miserable. You got one miserable here. She's just waiting for her to finish her life so she can go back to God as soon as possible.
Yes, I'm going.
I'm torturing her by dragging her all over the world, see. She can't stand it. I'm torturing her by dragging her all over the world.
Yes.
Huh?
I'm miserable because every day is passing with the rising of and setting of, the sun. And days are passing and I haven't reached my goal yet.
You haven't reached your goal yet. She's miserable because she hasn't gotten Krishna Premya. Rupa Goswami says the same thing, the Prema Sharanadi Bhaktir. Rupa Goswami says, I have no love for Krishna, you see. So she's feeling miserable that she doesn't have any love for Krishna, but I'll give you a little secret.
No, I didn't say
that. Misery, what?
I didn't say that. I said I'm going day by day, every day is passing, and coming close to death, but we haven't reached our goal.
Which is
going back home, back to Godhead.
What about love of Krishna?
If the love of Krishna comes, then only you can go.
My point is this. If one feels miserable, they don't have love of Krishna, that's transcendental bliss. If your only misery is, if you feel miserable about, I don't have any love for Krishna, it's horrible, I don't have any love for Krishna, I don't have any love for Krishna, that's very good. You should always feel that misery, because that misery is transcendental bliss.
But then we have to
get, so if you can take all your miseries and just put them in that one lump, I have no love for Krishna, I have not awakened my Krishna consciousness, and you make that your one misery, you're going to be blissful every day.
At least we can think about that if I can get out of cycle of birth and death, the threefold miseries.
But you know what? We should come to a higher platform than that.
At least we can come to that, I said.
Lord Chaitanya says, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisa kamaye Mama janmani janmanishvade bhavatat bhaktira haitaki tvai. I don't desire women. I don't desire wealth. I don't desire followers. I don't even desire to get out of the cycle of birth and death. I just want to be fully absorbed in devotional service. That's all. That's how we have to think. Because then we're already liberated.
We understand theoretically, that's what we have to understand, but at least if we can come to that point of getting out of cycle of birth and death, then everything will come.
Okay, I agree. All right, we'll stop here. Rajavidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, ISKCON Pretoria Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Save the Whole World Ki Jai.